Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is Think and Grow Rich Thursday, November 8th, 2012. You are on the Think and Grow Rich call. You are in the right place at the right time to start your day, to start this hour, to start this week, to start your life, the rest of your life off on the right foot, folks. This is a call we do every day to get going, to get moving, to get excited, to get some wisdom, to get some better knowledge, to get some better ideas for moving forward in a more powerful way in our lives. We as entrepreneurs, as home business entrepreneurs, as internet marketers, as network marketers, as even traditional business owners, come together on a daily basis to get inspired, to get lifted up, to get educated, so that again, we can be more empowered and move forward, be more empowered in our lives and in our businesses, and also empower as many people as we possibly can as we formulate, as we calculate, as we carefully construct the mindset that is necessary to attract all that we want to have into our lives. It's not going to happen by chance, folks. It's not going to happen by accident. We have to consciously make a decision that we are going to develop the mindset necessary to get that which we want, to impact those that we want to impact, to achieve that which we want to achieve. And you being on this call today, me being on this call today, is evidence, it's proof that we have made that decision in our lives. And so first thing I want to do is just say congratulations. Thank you. I want to express gratitude to you for being who you are. The world needs more of people like you are. The world needs more of what you have to offer. And I'm so grateful that you've made that decision to start your day off here with us on this call. Now, sometimes I share, you know, even though when you wake up in the morning, you have these average, ordinary, everyday experiences. Here's one of the things that I've learned in my life over the last few years is I've really tried to just open my mind and look for lessons. What I've noticed is that it seems like truth and ideas and inspiration and life lessons come in very average, ordinary, everyday circumstances. Maybe it's when you're playing with one of your children and just having a little conversation with them, or having a conversation with one of your prospects on the phone. Just these little average, everyday, ordinary experiences seem to teach us the greatest lessons in life. And a lot of times, I'll learn incredible lessons just from my morning routine. And so I'll share some of that sometimes with everyone on the call. This morning, woke up at 5:30 in the morning here, Idaho time. Rolled out of bed, walked over to the kitchen sink, got two big glasses of water, gulped them on down. Because I know that water is important to start your day off. We need hydration. We need to get something good in our bodies. Got done drinking my water. Then I went over to my computer because I knew I was going in the gym, and there was this new song that was kind of inspiring to me that I wanted to download and get on my MP3 device. So I got this new song. I put it on my phone so that I could listen to it, and then I started looking for my headphones. And what's funny is I could not find my earbuds. I have these tiny little yellow earbuds that I usually put in my ears when I go to the gym, and I couldn't find them. So over on my shelf, I see this big, massive set of headphones that looks like I'm some sort of like a radio DJ or producer, and I'm like, oh man, are you kidding me? I got to wear these in the gym today. Well, I have no choice, so I grab these big, massive headphones, and I hop in my car, and I get to the gym, and then I'm on the treadmill with these big, massive headphones, and if you can imagine this, I'm listening to this inspiring music. I've got these big, massive headphones on my head. There's other people in the gym, and I'm listening to this inspiring music, and I get to a point where my endorphins are up, my blood is pumping, the air is going in and out, and I'm feeling in a position of empowerment. I just feel so good about life, and I'm so grateful for what's happening at that point in time. And then I remember John Chapman sharing with us on one of our other calls about emotional triggers and how when you're in a position of power, when you're in a position where you feel confident and excited about what's happening, you can snap your fingers and say a word, and then later on in life, when you need that feeling to come back to you, maybe it's when you're shooting a video to do some marketing, or maybe it's when you're getting on a conference call, or maybe it's when you get to a point where you have a chance to speak to a group of people and you have a little bit of nervousness, you have a little bit of fear, well, you can use that emotional trigger with the snap of your fingers and saying that word to help bring back that feeling of confidence, to help bring back that feeling of power. So this morning I'm on the treadmill. I've got these big massive headphones on. I'm listening to this inspiring music, and I get to this point where I'm just feeling so good and so grateful about life, and I'm feeling empowered, and I think I'm on about my third mile on the treadmill, and I'm feeling good. And so then I remember this thing that John Chapman shared with us, and I snap my fingers, and my emotional, my trigger word is power. So I'm running on the treadmill, I snap my fingers, and I'm saying power, power, power. I'm snapping my fingers, and I picture it, I got these big massive headphones on my phone, and I'm snapping my fingers and saying power, and I've got this big smile on my face, knowing that I can use this later on in my life when I need it. And all these people in the gym are sitting around probably thinking I'm a nut job, but you know what? That's okay, because I'm living my life, I'm doing the things that I know will help me and help other people, and that's something we need to do, folks. And so I get done with the song, and then I'm listening to training. I'm listening to leaders from our industry, the home-based business, do a conference call. And I grab my phone and I dial into the recording, and I'm listening to this call. And here's one of the things that I do when I listen to training. And if you're not doing this, this will be very, very powerful for you to do. And that is not just listen to the words that are coming from the trainer's mouths. Yes, listen to that, listen to the content, listen to the information, but look at how they're delivering what they're delivering. What are they doing at the front of the call? For instance, I was listening to a call the other day, and one of the trainers, what he did when he came on the call, is right on the front of the call, he said, listen, everyone, here's what you're going to get out of tonight. And then he gave everyone two great benefits that they were going to get from listening to the call. So as I'm listening to that, I'm hearing the benefits, but I'm also looking at why would he deliver benefits on the front end of the call? Well, it's to let everyone know what they're going to get. It's to keep their attention so that they stay on the call. Okay, that's something that you can do on a conference call. And then you're listening to it, what people are training on, you're listening to the content, and then you start to notice that the speakers are telling stories, story after story after story, and you're noticing the different kinds of stories that they're telling. So not only are you engaged in the content and being entertained and educated by the story, but you're also recognizing that great teachers and trainers are storytellers. So just a little lesson that you can implement if you're not already doing this is not just listen to the what, but also look for the how. Look at how the delivery is being done. Look at, the structure of the presentation. And by doing that, you can gain value from the content, but you can also learn. See, some of these people that are doing trainings, I'll throw myself out here for an example. I have spent, just last month, I invested $4,000 in my education. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying that some of these people that are doing these calls have spent way more money than that, have invested way more money. I mean, we're talking tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so by us looking at how the delivery is being done and looking at the psychology of what's happening, we can take advantage of the best of what those tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars have brought to that individual. We can learn from that, we can apply that in our lives, and we might not have to go out and spend the tens and thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So just a couple of things that happened to me this morning as I was going through my morning routine that I thought would be valuable to share. And here's one other nugget that I got from the training that I was listening to this morning that really impacted me and I believe can really impact you if you take this to heart. One of the trainers I was listening to this morning said this. He said, your story is your asset and not your liability. Your story is your asset and not your liability. See, so many people, myself included, have gone through life and looked at our story, looked at the things that have happened to us, looked at the mistakes we've made, looked at the failures we've had, and we allow that story to become our liability because we allow that story to tell us that we cannot be successful moving forward because we have not been successful up to this point. That's when our story is a liability, my friends. But we have a choice to take that story and turn it into an asset. We truly do. We can make that story an asset. And all it takes is a little switch of how we look at what's happened to us. And one example, Dr. Napoleon Hill, we're students of Think and Grow Rich. This is the Think and Grow Rich call. This call was inspired by Dr. Napoleon Hill. We study this man on a daily basis. We study his, you know, teachings and what he learned through his 25-year study. One of the things that Dr. Napoleon Hill teaches in the book Think and Grow Rich that has had a major impact on my life is this. He says in that book that in every apparent setback is the seed of an equal or greater opportunity. And every apparent setback is the seed of an equal or greater opportunity. And give you a real-life example of how this plays out. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, a business partner, actually, and he was telling me how he'd just gone through a very rough situation financially. He invested in a lot of real estate, was, you know, really out there in the marketplace buying properties and accumulating this portfolio of real estate. And when the downturn in the economy came, it really crunched his situation, and he lost a lot of stuff. I'm not sure if he went through bankruptcy, but he may very well could have, listening to the things that he was sharing with me. Just really in a tough spot in life. And I was talking to him on the phone, and he was sharing with me this position that he's been in and is now, you know, starting to come out of. And we talked about this, how in every apparent setback is the seed of an equal or greater opportunity. And we talked about his story, and we talked about how people can identify with stuff like that, from, you know, having massive failure, but then getting up, swinging, getting up, fighting, not letting that punch in the gut leave you on the ground. But when you get kicked and fall down, you get back up and you keep swinging. And that's part of his story. And that's so powerful. When people hear that this friend of mine, this business partner, went through all of that, got crushed financially by the economy, but he didn't let it knock him out of the game, and he got up swinging and kept moving forward and fought on through that adversity and fought on through that temporary setback and started to win and have success. And when he tells that story, do you see how that story is a major asset? Folks, all of our stories can be that way. It's a beautiful thing about this industry that I absolutely love, and I'm so excited to be engaged in building my story and helping as many people as we possibly can build their stories and find success in their lives and understand that no matter what has happened to us in the past, we can move forward and make tomorrow a better day. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to jump into the content of the call today, which is the portion of As a Man Thinketh entitled Visions and Ideals. This is major stuff we're going to talk about today. And really excited about it. And I'll tell you, as I read through this content this morning and last night, I got a little bit of insight, deeper insight into this man, Dr. Napoleon Hill, that we study. This is a totally different book. Napoleon Hill did not author this book, but I gained a little bit further insight into Napoleon Hill. And I challenge you, that, you know, those of you who have been students of Think and Grow Rich, to see if you can identify the additional insight or the correlation between what we're going to cover today and Think and Grow Rich. So have your eyes open, your ears open, be looking for that, and be looking for the truth and the knowledge and the wisdom that we're all looking for as we go through the content. So here we go, visions and ideals. The dreamers are the saviors of the world. As the visible world is sustained by the invisible, so men, through all their trials and sins and sordid vocations, are nourished by the beautiful visions of their solitary dreamers. Humanity cannot forget its dreamers. It cannot let their ideals fade and die. It lives in them. It knows them as the realities which it shall one day see and know. Composer, sculptor, painter, poet, prophet, sage. These are the makers of the afterworld, the architects of heaven. The world is beautiful because they have lived. Without them, laboring humanity would perish. He who cherishes a beautiful vision, a lofty ideal in his heart, will one day realize it. Columbus cherished a vision of another world, and he discovered it. Copernicus fostered the vision of a multiplicity of worlds and a wider universe, and he revealed it. Buddha beheld a vision of a spiritual world of stainless beauty and perfect peace, and he entered into it. Cherish your visions. Cherish your ideals. Cherish the music that stirs in your heart. the beauty that forms in your mind, the loveliness that drapes your purest thoughts, for out of them will grow all delightful conditions, all heavenly environment. Of these, if you but remain true to them, your world will at last be built. To desire is to obtain, to aspire is to achieve. Shall man's basest desires receive the fullest measure of gratification, and his purest aspirations starve for lack of sustenance? Such is not the law. Such a condition of things can never obtain. Ask and receive. Dream lofty dreams, and as you dream, so shall you become. Your vision is the promise of what you shall one day be. Your idea is the prophecy of what you shall at last unveil. The greatest achievement was at first and for a time a dream. The oak sleeps in the acorn, the bird waits in the egg, and in the highest vision of the soul, a waking angel stirs. Dreams are the seedlings of realities. Your circumstances may be uncongenial, but they shall not long remain if you but perceive an ideal and strive to reach it. You cannot travel within and stand still without. Here is a youth, hard-pressed by poverty and labor, confined long hours in an unhealthy workshop, unschooled and lacking all the arts of refinement, but he dreams of better things. He thinks of intelligence, of refinement, of grace and beauty. He conceives of, mentally builds up, an ideal condition of life. The vision of a wider liberty and a larger scope takes possession of him. Unrest urges him to action, and he utilizes all his spare time and means, small though they are, to the development of his latent powers and resources. Very soon, so altered he has his mind become that the workshop can no longer hold him. It has become so out of harmony with his mentality that it falls out of his life as a garment is cast aside. And with the growth of opportunities which fit the scope of his expanding powers, he passes out of it forever. Years later, we see this youth as a full-grown man. We find him a master of certain forces of the mind, which he wields with worldwide influence and almost unequaled power. In his hands, he holds the cords of gigantic responsibilities. He speaks, and lo, lives are changed. Men and women hang upon his words and remold their characters. And sun-like, he becomes the fixed and luminous center round which innumerable destinies revolve. He has realized the vision of his youth. He has become one with his ideal. And you too, youthful reader, will realize the vision, not the idle wish of your heart, be it base or beautiful, or a mixture of both. For you will always gravitate toward that which you secretly most love. Into your hands will be placed the exact results of your own thoughts. You will receive that which you earn, no more, no less. Whatever your present environment may be, you will fall, remain, or rise with your thoughts, your vision, your ideal. You will become as small as your controlling desire, as great as your dominant aspiration. In the beautiful words of Stanton Kirkham Davis, you may be keeping accounts, and presently you shall walk out of the door that for so long has seemed to you the barrier of your ideals, and shall find yourself before an audience, the pen still behind your ear, the ink stains on your fingers, and then and there shall pour out the torrent of your inspiration. You may be driving sheep, and you wander to the city bucolic, and open-mouthed shall wander the intrepid guidance of the Spirit into the studio of the Master, and after a time he shall say, I have nothing more to teach you. And now you have become the Master, who did so recently dream of great things while driving sheep. You shall lay down the saw and the plane to take upon yourself the regeneration of the world. The thoughtless, the ignorant, and the indolent, seeing only the apparent effects of things and not the things themselves, talk of luck, of fortune, and chance. Seeing a man grow rich, they say, how lucky he is. Observing another become intellectual, they exclaim, how highly favored he is. and noting the saintly character and wide influence of another, they remark, how chance aids him at every turn. They do not see the trials and failures and struggles which these men have voluntarily encountered in order to gain their experience, have no knowledge of the sacrifices they have made, of the undaunted efforts they have put forth, of the faith they have exercised, that they might overcome the apparent insurmountable and realize the vision of their heart. They do not know the darkness and the headaches. They only see the light and joy and call it luck. They do not see the long and arduous journey, but only behold the pleasant goal and call it good fortune. Do not understand the process, but only perceive the result and call it chance. In all human affairs, there are efforts and there are results. And the strength of the effort is the measure of the result. Chance is not. Gifts, powers, material, intellectual, and spiritual possessions are the fruits of effort. They are thoughts completed, objects accomplished, visions realized. The vision that you glorify in your mind, the ideal that you enthrone in your heart, this you will build your life by, this you will become. And I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines now for discussion on those beautiful words that we have just allowed to seek into our minds. One moment, please. *6 to unmute your line. Would love to hear from you. Good morning, Sir Melvin. How are you today?
I'm extraordinary, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, I like what you were saying to begin with, and we can learn from all things. And I was just thinking, too, as you were talking, that the training and classes and tapes and the books that we read and the calls that we get on, you know, everything along that line is simply to help us understand that thoughts become things and that everything's energy and that we may become masters of that. And if we can get that lesson, because all of it leads to the same exact place. It's just giving you these different stories, gives you a more clearer way of understanding it or digesting it or making it become your own, to where now you can not only think it but act it. But it's all one and the same thing. And when it is crystal clear that thoughts become things, and that everything there is energy, and that you can create and mold and manifest out of that. Now your world belongs to you, and you can make anything you want of it. With that, back to you, Paul.
Excellent thoughts, Melvin. Really appreciate those. Everything is energy, and thoughts become things. *6, come on out. Who's next?
This is Bill Wench.
Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Just a comment here, a question for you. Yesterday, your voice was very, very clear. I have a very slight hearing problem, but today, your voice was very muffled. And if I didn't have the words to follow along on my screen, I wouldn't understand some of the stuff that you were reading. And so I don't know what the difference is, what you used yesterday and today. But, you know, I just wanted to call your attention to that because I really value what you have to say, but sometimes I don't understand it, whatever you're using today. So I just wanted to pass that on to you. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Yeah, the difference is sometimes I dial in from my cell phone because I am coming home from the gym. Please let me know. Bill, you have mentioned that in the past. I've talked to many other people who have not express problem with my cell phone, but if today has been a problem for you here, maybe send me a message on Facebook. We won't talk about it on the call, but just shoot me a message so that I can, you know, confirm that it's more than just Bill. So *6, come on out. Who's next?
Had some people ask me about it too that I said to the call. Now, and they're listening to the recorded call, and they said they even noticed it on the recorded call. So.
Yeah, and the other thing to keep in mind is there have been calls where I did have some major problems with my internet. So I realized there were calls in the past where I was cutting in and out, but that's different from like today when I'm calling in my cell phone. So anyway, Star 6, who's next? Let's get back to the content, please.
Good morning, Paul. It's Lindy.
Hey, Lindy. Good morning.
I'm so happy to be here. Yesterday, I wasn't able to get on the live call, but I did listen to it later. And I am so sorry I missed that one. It was incredible. And as always, today, a continuation. So anyway, my thoughts are, thoughts become things. That is so predominant. And I have a little story to tell you. On Sunday, we've been looking for a car for my granddaughter. And she found one on Craigslist. She thought she wanted to go look at and called the guy and talked about it, and everything seemed good, but it was an hour and a half away. But I said, well, let's go anyway. But on the way there, I told her a story that I had heard about this man who had worked really hard for this corporation. And, there was going to be a promotion up, and he was up for it along with some others to be the sales manager of this corporation. And when it came about, he didn't get the job. But he did not get negative. He could have been complaining because he had been there much longer, had much more experience. But he just had faith that just wasn't for him. And he just kept a smile on his face, kept doing his job the best he could. And lo and behold, within 2 months, he was promoted to vice president. So if he'd have complained and got that negative mindset and started putting that out there in his thoughts, in his words, I doubt seriously they would have promoted him. But because he stayed steadfast, and it's all about the pruning. We all go through pruning. As we're learning and growing, some things are not useful to us anymore. So they're cut away. And the things that are useful are pruned back so that it can bear even more fruit during the growing season. So just keep a positive mindset. Anyway, on my granddaughter, we went to look at this car, and the guy didn't tell us till we got there, and he knew how far we were driving, that the clutch was slipping. And I told her on the way there, I said, don't be disappointed if we don't get this car. Just because we're driving that far doesn't mean we're going to buy it. So anyway, the deal wasn't going to go through, but she kept a positive attitude. And as we were driving back towards the city, she got on her phone and was looking at Craigslist, and someone had just posted another car that was on our way home. So we called them, and we went by there, and we ended up getting a car that was worth twice what we paid for it. And, everything is fantastic. She got her driver's license yesterday morning, and, everything is on the upswing, and it's because we kept a positive attitude. So be positive, everybody. It may not look like it's coming, but it is. Stay positive. Back to you, Paul.
Thanks, Lindy. Really appreciate you. Glad you're back on the line, and I appreciate those stories. Thank you so much. Star 6 is next. Come on out.
Good morning, my friends. This is John Chapman. First of all,
how's it going?
Wonderful story.
Let's see. John, go ahead, and then the other individual, Rick, I think. John, go ahead first.
All right, Paul, and good morning to you, too, Philip Lied. Lindsay, what a wonderful story! What a wonderful story that is, and it is a true testament to the power of intention. Your granddaughter's intent was to go down and buy a car, and because she did not allow that intent to be soiled by disappointment, something else popped in. Yeah, and life really happens that way. I was on the treadmill. No, actually, I was on the Precor the other day, and I was listening to Jim Rohn. And one of the things that he said really stuck to me, and it has stuck to me for a while. He said, life is not designed to give you what you need. Life is designed to give you what you deserve. How powerful is that? Life is not designed to give you what you need. Life is designed to give you what you deserve. So what is our what is our role then? How do we go about deserving more? How do we deserve more prosperity? How do we deserve more life, more vitality, more zest, more friendships, more prosperity? Well, we go into the action, we encompass the feeling, we generate that state of being, of being deserving of, by the actions that we take. You know, I often say daily disciplines create empires. Well, that's true. And it doesn't have to be a financial empire. You can create a empire of friendships. You know, for myself on a personal basis, once I had adopted these principles in my life and I started to take daily action towards my goals, whether they be financial, spiritual, personal, I can tell you the most wonderful people have been attracted into my life. And the people who were not serving me and who were not serving my family have fallen by the wayside. These are people that I don't speak to. These are people that don't speak about me. These are people that no longer come into my life. So if you want to be in a position where you deserve more, not where you want more, because everyone wants more, it's very easy to want. It's very easy to want. It's very easy to say, oh, you know what, guys? In the next 90 days, I'm going to make $3,000 a month. I'm going to make $6,000 a month. I'm going to make $10,000 a month. You get all hyped up, and you stay hyped up for like a week, and then it's gone. It's because the emotion that you possessed when you made that statement isn't backed up by the discipline that is necessary in order to follow through with it. So if you want to deserve more in your life, make sure that you're taking action upon your goals and that you make it consistent daily action. Create yourself a daily method of operation. That way you hold yourself accountable to what it is that you truly want in your life and profess it, you know. Speak to your friends. Speak to your mastermind team partners. Let them know that this is your goal so that they can help you become accountable to yourself. Because if you're not accountable to yourself, then you're not going to be accountable to anyone else either. And that's really the bottom line. So if you want to deserve more, if you want to have more, if you want to experience more in life, take the daily disciplines that will create that feeling, that will create that state of mind, that state of being, where you actually do deserve more. Back to you, Paul.
Beautiful words, John. Thank you so much for that. Very, very valuable. And then was that Philip that was coming through with John? Who was that gentleman that was jumping out with John right at the beginning there?
This is Philip Lyon. How's it going?
Hey, Philip. Doing great. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. And, you know, my leader, my team leader, Mr. John Chapman, I must say I can't compete with that in terms of his story because he's so passionate and you can hear it. And I think what everybody has been saying on the call so far has hit it right on the head. I actually wrote a blog just to touch on it. I wrote my blog yesterday, my daily blog, and I'm juggling a bunch of things at the same time, but I told myself that I still have to commit, to piggyback off of what John said, I still have to commit after the novelty of making the statement of 10 grand a month or 10 grand a week has worn off. And what I've done, me and my wife have done, is we've actually equated our whole situation in growing our business to our marriage because we are in the relationship business. So what we've been trying to do is just aside from entertaining people, develop ways in which we just continue on reinforcing those principles that we're learning on a daily basis. You know, even we go through self-doubt and lack of confidence sometimes because we don't see instant gratification. But I had to tell my wife just the other day, which I wrote about, was sometimes we have to just sit there and really just suck it up. as they say in the military, suck it up and drive on, because it's no guarantee. The only guarantees that you're going to have is that it's going to be tough, you know. And if you're not willing to commit to that, you know, whether it's your marriage or whether it's your business or anything else, then you'll continuously go through the ebb and flow of inconsistency, you know. And you hear the success stories all the time that people who have finally had their breakthrough had to get to a point where it was either live or die. And that's where we're at now. So I thank God for you guys, and I especially thank the heavens for John for giving me a swift kick when I needed it. But look for me. I'm actually on my way to teach right now, but look forward to me being on here more often. Thank you.
Hey, Philip, that was beautiful. Thank you so much for that. And it's very inspirational, you know, and you do have power within you, and you don't have to compete with John. You did great, man. So keep up the good work. Really appreciate that. Star Sixers next. Come on out.
Good morning, my friend. Oh, Mr. Hutchins, how are you?
I am so good, Rick Martin. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, my friend. You know, you've heard the saying that it's not how you start the race, but how you finish. But I want to tell you, it's really enjoyable to hear how you start these calls in the morning, Paul. And it's been a growth process. When you see things are happening right in front of your very eyes, it just fills your heart with joy. You know, and I remember listening to John Maxwell. I've listened to his one of his private talks for actually years in succession. And he brought out the John Wooden quote, because John Wooden was one of his mentors. And John Wooden said, "It's what you learn after you know it all that counts."
Hmm.
And it's an incredible thought, because I tell people that which bus do you want to get on? Is the bus that already reached its destination, or another bus that's going somewhere? You see, what's happening on this call, Paul, and everyone on this call, is the growth that's taking place. This bus is moving. It's going somewhere. You see, the people are growing right in front of your very eyes. And so those things, what you see and hear around you, it's you get to develop, help you develop and cultivate your thoughts in line of what your personal desires are. And so it's incredible to realize that. And there's something else I want to mention to you that I thought was incredible, is that you start and end these calls on time. And John Wooden wasn't known for the guy with the longest practice, but he started his practice on time and finished it on time. And I wanted to point that out to you, because I recognize that. At very few times, I think maybe 3 or 4 times maximum, I've seen you gone over, and you've been on time every single time. It's remarkable. I want to mention that. I wanted to point that out to you this morning. And so, because you recognize that, and you need to lift people up. Every chance you get is to lift up somebody. Everybody can make errors and do something wrong, and you can make light of that, but that's what you get. When you think about things, they become things. Whatever you focus on, you get. The more you focus on the negative, the more you get that. You see? And so contrast is so incredible. That's basically when you see something that you don't think is your blessing is a blessing to you, and they come in disguise. That's why so many people miss opportunity. You know, because opportunity always comes to everyone. And it's not selective. It comes to everybody. But some people are not prepared, because their thoughts are not that way. They're always saying, "Why is this happening to me?" Well, that's a great question. Well, you ever thought about it? If these things are happening to you all the time, these are things that are coming, why don't you flip it over and look on the other side and say, how can I learn something from this? How can I turn this negative into a positive? Because is like you said, there's always a seed of equivalent benefit on the other side, and that is true. I've used that and practiced that in my life, so that's why I'm always having a good spirit. Because you get to see and recognize those things and become part of you. And so the final thing I want to say is when you're thinking in your business, some people can get in a business, but when that business really gets into you, in other words, you have no doubt about what you're doing. The thoughts that occupy your mind gets transmitted. They go out in front of you and represent you. Who do you want representing you is so important, because they do. They get there before you do. Your thoughts do. And so any doubts will wipe out your success or delay it. It's really the truth. Right back to you, Paul. My friend, today is another day of opulence. Thank you very much.
Rick, I love you, my friend. Wow, some powerful stuff you've shared, and I had to chuckle because as you were talking, someone had their line unmuted, and you could hear the reaction. It was probably reverberating throughout all of the callers. You know, every few words you hear the mm-hmm. And I was still in the same way. So that was actually kind of cool. Really appreciate those comments. And thanks for recognizing the starting on time and finishing on time, although I do have to make a confession. There was one time in the last 2 years that I actually slept in and missed the call. So that has happened. I am guilty. So let me...
Oh, it's Doc Fran.
But it's only happened once. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, Doc first, and then there was another gentleman after Doc. Go ahead, Doc.
Well, Paul, it was so refreshing that you slept in once and missed the call, because that's probably an indication that you are really human.
No doubt.
And that's very refreshing. I'm loving the content this morning and the comments. I mean, Lindy's and Rick's comments have just been so exciting to listen to. And it really does prove the point of the value of always staying in gratitude and always staying positive and always looking for the benefit in any situation. And that really is a key to move through life and stay in a high tone, because we're all going to have our temporary setbacks. We're all going to have the frustrations that seem to be impediments to the direction we want to go. And so a tool that I developed years ago for myself was, when adversity was striking, I would always say, you know, boy, this is really no fun. I wonder what really good thing's going to come out of this. Because I had seen the pattern where seeming setbacks had always led to something greater than I had envisioned intellectually or consciously. And I didn't understand it fully at that point in my life. I just was kind of observing it. And once I realized that it was a constant pattern, then I started to really think about it on a conscious basis, and that's when I moved into making that affirmation. You know, boy, this is really no fun. There must be something really good, and that's exactly it. Still repeats itself even up to the present time. I mean, major setbacks over the last 4 years have led to a series of events that have put me in position to have arguably the greatest success that I'll have in my life. And it is so exciting to realize that. And just as your friend who, you know, lost his entire real estate empire but refused to stay down. Folks, that's the message. There's two parts to it. One, refuse to stay down. And two, enjoy the rest that you get while you're laying on the ground, because you know that something really great is going to come next. Back to you, Paul.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Refuse to stay down and enjoy the rest while you're on the ground. Love it. Thank you, Doc. Who is the other individual coming out with Doc? The gentleman.
That was me. Hello, Paul?
Yes. Who's that?
Yes. Yeah, this is Melton McClanahan here in California. I just wanted to chime in real quick. That was I that was over there going, because I was thinking the whole call. So I apologize because I wanted to come out and speak. I just really wanted to thank everybody because I've been coming every morning and listening to this, and it has really changed my attitude and my approach. Now it ain't just where I go to work every day, but my own home-based business and also my marriage, as well as my relationship with my kids and how I see the world. And you know, one of the things I was discussing yesterday with one of my upline from the Power Network was about clarity. And I guess there was a call that was talking about clarity. And once you visualize that and you see what you have and you have a definiteness of purpose, because I do practice speaking and talking, speaking that out to the world in the morning and in the evening, it becomes so ingrained into your spirit. And this call also is ingrained into my spirit. And I just really just I can't say enough about how important clarity is, because not only that, when you have that clarity, everything seems to chime in and tune into that clarity. Even when you speak to your friends, even when you speak to your spouse and everybody else, they know there's a definiteness of purpose. Having been down before as well, spent the last 5 years trying to get back up. I've actually, Doc, enjoyed the actual rest, because now, you know, being at 47, I realize that I can't continue to go where I'm going, so I have to change everything in the world, because you only have so much time on this planet, and when you're here, you might as well make the best of it. So I really want to thank everybody for helping me with the clarity and understanding my path and my role in my life and my role in my kids' life and as well as my spouse's life and the role I have with you. So I just want to thank you guys very much. So I wanted to just chime in and say that, and clarity is the key to it all, and stick to it. So thank you for this call. Thank you for inviting me every day.
Mel, thank you. Excellent comments. So important. Absolutely. Give that definitely an amen. Thank you for coming out and sharing that. And I do need to just throw out a reminder. Folks, make sure that we don't mention any company names or affiliate products or any opportunity names on this call, because we have a lot of people from many different companies.
Sorry.
We want to make sure it's a, that's okay. Just a reminder. Just want to make sure it's a safe place. Thank you, Mel. Really appreciate that. Star 6 is next. Come on out.
Paul.
Good morning, Paul.
There was a lady's voice right before Neville. Let's hear from the lady and then Neville.
Hello, Paul. Good morning. Deanna Evans here. Thank you for your call. I just wanted to let you know that yesterday when I listened to the call, I was on my way to teach a seminar. And while I was teaching the seminar, I want you to know that I used three things from the morning's call in my seminar, and it just pumped me up, and I just felt like that I was able to inspire so much more because of what I had heard that morning, and then the precious information that I had gotten that morning on the call to be able to give that to my listeners. So thank you. It is a very powerful call. And so I just wanted to piggyback on what you started the call with about the seminars and teaching and stuff. And so I heard from one of my mentors, and she said about training and how you actually present your teleseminars and seminars. She said, never do for listeners what they can do for themselves. And she said that this will help them keep their eyes from glazing over. And she said when you engage them, then they are participants in their own learning. Okay. And so for the telecall that we were on, she had us actually draw a house, and then she had us write in, you know, what I forget what her key points were, but whatever, she had us write in like on the foundation of the house one of her key points, and then the door was a key point, and then she had us write in another key point was the roof of the house. And it was just very powerful, because you know what I took away from that is that, you know, I was engaged in my own learning, so that was very, very powerful. And she also said that in your seminars is to position yourself for the sale. And so as you were talking earlier this morning, when you listen to these, these experts at presentations, you know, they will position themselves for the sale. For instance, she'll say, you know, what you might say, you know, stay with me, and on the end of the call, I've got this great gift for you, this surprise that only people who stay with me to the end of the call will get. And so, you know, things like that. And then she, she said to be able to interject your sales, you know, maybe midway through, and then follow up at the end of the call. But anyway, so I just wanted to interject that. And one other thing that was really cool that I thought about as I was listening to the other ones and speakers, and it is information or knowledge without implementation is clutter. And so this just, you know, back to what all of the other ones have said about following through and being consistent and your daily operations and method and your daily discipline is really key. So I hope that added to the call. And back to you, Paul.
Oh, wow, Deanna, greatly, greatly, greatly added to the call. Thank you so much for that. I'm jotting down notes as you're speaking. Really appreciate those nuggets you shared. And awesome to hear that you're hearing info that's helping you and your business and in turn helping other people. That's the vision, that's the goal, and that's so exciting to hear. Thank you for that. Now we'll go ahead to...
Hello, good morning, Paul. And how are you, young man?
I'm very good. Thanks for asking.
I'm sorry, you know, you're so busy making notes there, so you have to take it on. It is a great, great morning. It's a great day every day, actually. And I love being on this call. For each and every one comes on and says something that's extraordinary. I listened to the call for the past 2 days. I was on the road some. And I hear such exciting things. And I wanted to comment on them. I said, no, it's good to listen. But he said, sometimes silence is golden. And there are times when you shouldn't say anything because of the universe and the ties we have to one another, the information or things I wanted to say was just came out from someone else. So I said, you know, this is such a great, great thing. And back to the call today. And when you said this morning, you read Napoleon Hill and what you read this morning in The Man Thinketh, how does it apply? And I just recall the fact it came back to the point where his imaginary counsel and his imagination and how he applies it and how that helped him develop where he had to go and that part there. So it is great. Not saying much this morning. I just wanted to be on to say hi to everybody. And that most morning I'm running doing something now, so that keeps it going. But John said some stuff there earlier. Everybody said awesome stuff, but about discipline and about how you back? Okay. And how you actually achieve things. And sometimes that's where the trouble comes from. Because even if you're writing your diary, make your schedule for the day, but you allow other things to interfere with you in achieving the things that you plan for the day, especially when it comes to your business, then you knock yourself off and you find by the end of the week all the things that you're planning to do does not seem to be achieved, and so you fall behind. And then Linda said something this morning, which was awesome, about her and her granddaughter going out, maintaining a positive attitude, and then being rewarded later on the way in. It's a great teaching moment, especially for her granddaughter at her young age, letting her understand that don't care if disappointment comes. And like Doc says, a door is open. And normally what we are told each other, when one door closes, God opens another door for you. So don't be upset or worried about anxiousness. And when you talk about the man who had suffered those financial losses and went down in his business, I have been through that. I've been there and more to learn to think about that. You know, so all of us have issues in life, and all we got to do is keep on getting up. Okay, what happens? You keep on getting up, and you keep your imagination looking at the bright side of life. But when you do that, life can be, will be beautiful. God bless everyone.
Well,
Thank you, Neville. Beautiful words, my friend. Always appreciate hearing from you. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. We have a few minutes left.
Good morning,
Paul. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Great. There were two people that jumped out there, two male voices. Who was the first one? I'm sorry, I didn't.
Chris.
Chris, go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing this morning? You know, this has just been a very, very powerful call this morning, and I really just started thinking that, you know, so many people really, when they go through problems, they quit, you know, because of various challenges and trials that are going on in their life. And I just really thought about a very, very inspirational movie that was really a series. And really, if you saw this one scene, actually the movie was Rocky 1. They must have had about four or five Rockies up to part 5. But if you really saw this one scene, it really was it was inspirational because it really was very profound about life. And we all know that Rocky is about this guy that was a heavyweight champ of the world that wanted to give this guy a shot named Rocky Balboa to fight for the heavyweight champ of the world. And Rocky had gone through so many trials and tribulations his entire life. He had failed at everything. And during the first Rocky, this champion, Apollo Creed, he fought Rocky, and Rocky went the distance, but he lost the fight. And this was the heavyweight champ of the world. Apollo Creed, he was undefeated, and Rocky was this bum, and nobody said he would amount to anything. During the second fight, it was very questionable of whether or not Apollo Creed really, really won the fight. And he chose to give him a rematch. Well, there was just one scene, and if you saw this one scene, you really didn't have to see Rocky 1. You didn't have to see Rocky 2. You didn't have to see Rocky 3. You didn't have to see Rocky 4. You didn't have to see Rocky 5. You saw this one scene, you really saw the entire movie. And in the scene, they're interviewing Apollo Creed's camp, his fighting camp, and they're interviewing Apollo Creed, and he's doing this press conference, and his trainer walks away because his trainer, Apollo Creed's trainer, gets very, very nervous, and Apollo Creed, after the press conference is over, he goes over to his trainer, and Apollo Creed says, you know, you've been acting very strange, you know, ever since I said I was going to give Rocky Balboa a rematch. What's wrong with you? And he pulled him over to the side of Apollo Creed's trainer, and he looked at him, and he said, let me tell you something, man. He said, I've been training fighters for a long time, and the first time you fought that man, I saw you beat that man like I've never seen no man get beat before, and the man kept coming. And he said, he looked at him, he said, look here, you are the champ. You're the champ. We don't need someone like this in our lives. Let it go. Let that go. He said, you're the champ. And the reason you didn't have to look at any of the Rockies and that one scene was so inspirational and so profound to how life is because we're hearing Ross Perot, a billionaire, biz and boy, just going to another quick store as we close out. And Larry King asked him, if you had to define success, how would you define it? And Ross Perot looked at him and he talks like this and he said, well, Larry, if I had to really think about success and just come up with one meaning for it, success is failing over and over again without ever losing enthusiasm. And one of the problems that all of us that we battle through our lives is that when we're trying to achieve certain things for our families and our loved ones and achieve greatness, for some strange reason, when we get bombarded with obstacles and we fail, we don't understand that in order to achieve greatness, that is a necessity. You must fail. You must go through trials. You must go through tribulations. But the key is getting back up, dusting yourself off, and keep going no matter what. So with that, I just wanted to put that out there. Back to you, Paul.
Wow, Chris, that was just awesome, unbelievable. There was one other individual that was jumping out with Chris. We've got about 1 minute left. I'm sorry. Are you there? Come on out. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, Paul, this is Mark from Maine.
Hey, Mark. Sorry to leave you so little time, man.
That's okay. I just had a little something to add to what Doc said about one thing that Les Brown, the motivational speaker, Mammy Brown's baby boy from Miami, Florida, not the Les Brown of the renowned band, but he said, when life knocks you down, and it will, make sure that you land on your back. That way you're looking up. So while you're resting, you can at least look at the sky. And it's easier to get up when you're looking up than when you're looking down. So I just thought of that. It fits so well to what Doc said and what everybody else has been saying. You know, we're on this call seeking truth and wanting to fulfill our dreams. And we are freedom. We're looking for freedom, freedom from maybe debt, or freedom from our job, or freedom from things that have held us down. So we're seekers of the truth and freedom fighters for our dreams. Back to you, Paul.
Wow, Mark. I'm glad we got that last comment in. Thank you so much. Folks, it's been a great call. I want to two things. If you receive value out of the call, get into our Facebook group. We are thinkandgrowrich.com. You can type that right in your browser. Get added to our Facebook group and share what you've learned and interact with the other members on the call. Chris, you too, man. I quoted you the other day in the group, and I couldn't find you in there. I want to make sure that I'm tagging you with the awesome things that you're sharing. That's thing number one. And then thing number two is I did mention at the beginning of the call that there was something in the chapter we went through today that was directly related to Think and Grow Rich and Napoleon Hill in a major way. Maybe some of you caught it, but I didn't hear it on the call. So I want to challenge everyone as we're moving forward, as we're continuing to immerse ourselves in this material, Think and Grow Rich, As a Man Thinketh, and these other books that we study, look for that correlation between what is in Think and Grow Rich and this particular chapter, Visions and Ideals. That can be a little bit of a search, a little bit of a game that we can play as we continue to immerse ourselves in that material, because there is a very, very direct correlation, and I didn't hear anyone mention it on the call. Folks, let's go out there, make it a great day. Take action. Do like Chris shared, Ross Perot shared. Fail over and over and over again without losing enthusiasm. Let us be successful, folks. It is a great day. It is a miracle. I love you. I appreciate you. Make it a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call.